May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and we'll read verse 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and reading verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. As we consider words like this, we perhaps wonder where we should begin. Well, I'm sure a good place to begin with is the condition of ourselves, the condition as we stand before God, and as we are indeed before God as sinners, and bad sinners, deep-dyed sinners. And if we stand in that condition, and then the Lord speaks to us and directs us, perhaps in the terms of the last couple of verses in the sixth chapter of the first of Corinthians, it will no doubt put things in a right perspective. So the last two verses in the sixth chapter of the Corinthians, that's 19 and 20, we read, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now we will never really therefore appreciate the meaning of this word and the importance of these two verses in the Corinthians unless we come recognizing our condition before a holy God. And of course the apostle in this chapter in the Corinthians had really outlined something of what the people were, the Corinthians he wrote to. And of course we today, although not physically Corinthians, are really no different. And he spoke to them and he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And therefore, if we are sinners of the earth, which we are, and if we are therefore unrighteous, then the truth is that we shall not inherit the kingdom of God unless we have the evidence that we are bought with a price. And he goes on to explain those who are unrighteous. And he says, be not deceived. The devil will always try and deceive us. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And you might think, well, I'm not one of those. And the Lord says, and such were some of you. So it incorporates all of us. We cannot say, well, I don't think that categorizes me, because it does. And then he goes on to say, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now, if therefore we are sinners of the earth, and the Holy Spirit has convinced us of our condition before a holy God, and it is a wonderful blessing if that is so, because naturally we will not think we're very bad. Many people you may speak to, and they might acknowledge they're a bit of a sinner, but they'll say, well, of course, I'm not very bad. Many people worse than me. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we stand before God as the sinner. Doesn't matter about anybody else. We stand condemned before a holy God. And then we come down to these last verses and realize, as I read already, ye are not your own. There was a time when we perhaps thought we were our own. We could choose our own destiny. We could decide what we wanted to do. But when under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and when we are led to the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, to realize therefore that we are no longer our own. And why are we not our own? For you are bought with a price. And what was that price? The price paid to forgive us of our sins, to take away our sins, was the price of blood, was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the price that was paid. Now, if we have this then, therefore, before our minds as a background, as it were, to these words which we read together this evening in the Gospel of Luke, it will no doubt have a good bearing upon us as we consider such words. And let us never forget that we are bought with a price. And the apostle goes on to tell us, therefore, because of that, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How important it is, therefore, that our lives show forth the glory of God. And what a blessing it is when that is so. So, returning then to this 10th verse in the 17th chapter of Luke, where the Lord speaks and says, so likewise ye. And of course, he's given the example previously of a farmer and saying to his labourer, go first of all and make a meal for me, and then sit down yourselves, rather than say, you eat first and I'll come afterwards. And so the Lord then says, so likewise ye. When ye shall have done all those things which I commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I suppose we don't like being told that we have a duty. We like to think that we're a free agent and we can please ourselves. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, and not just trivial things, but our gross sin, so that we stand before a holy God as the sinner. Paul did that, you know. He stood before God as the sinner. He was indeed, in his own eyes, the very worst person on the earth. And it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit comes and convinces us that we are the worst sinner on the earth. You may say, well, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's possible. Well, it is possible. And it is wonderful when the Holy Spirit teaches us that and shows us that. And one of the reasons why it does come home to us is this way. When the Holy Spirit directs us to see that here we are, as it were, brought up perhaps under the sound of the gospel, and yet have turned away from God, yet I follow the world, yet I follow the ways of the world, and therefore we are utterly without excuse. We are a very great sinner, because we have disobeyed God, because we've not done those things which it was our duty to do. We followed our own inclinations. We've pleased ourselves. We haven't pleased our God. We've gone about doing those things which our flesh wanted to do. Well, what a blessing it is then when, again, the Holy Spirit convinces us of the truth of these words, that we are unprofitable servants. Now, first of all, let me say this. All of God's people are servants. We are all servants. Because if you look at it in this way, if we've been purchased, if we've been bought, as we have if we're God's people, we are no longer our own. We are a servant of the Most High God. You remember that Joseph was purchased, wasn't he? And he was a slave. He was a servant. He had to do those things which he was told to do. He wasn't a free agent. And that's so with a blessed, living family of God. If we are bought with a price, we are no longer a free agent. We should recognize the truth of it and be concerned, therefore, to be found doing those things which the Lord commands us to do, the things that the Lord directs us to do, and to realize, therefore, that these things are our duty to do. And they should be a pleasurable duty. Sometimes, perhaps initially, when we're blessed by the Spirit of God, these things may seem a little difficult, a little irksome to us, and we wish we had a bit more freedom. The trouble is, we don't analyze these things in the light of eternity. That's really the best way to analyze things, is to weigh it up with regard to eternity. And that'll put things in a right perspective. And so the Lord tells us here, so that when ye should have done all those things which are commanded you, we may be tempted to pat ourselves on the back and think, well, we've done pretty well there. We've done this and we've done that. And we're perhaps pleased with ourselves. And we think as though we've earned some credit with God. My friends, there's no credit to be earned before God, because the price has been paid for all our sins. And therefore, we have to come and say, just like the Lord tells us here, we are unprofitable servants. Whatever our position, whatever we're doing, we are one of God's servants, and we are to be found serving Him. You see, there are those who are called to preach the gospel. They are servants. There are those who are called to hear the gospel. They are servants. Yes, you know, perhaps we don't like to always consider these things, but it is as an important situation to hear the gospel than to preach the gospel. We are all to serve God in hearing the gospel. We're not to come to chapel and waste our time and just hope for the amen and think of all the things that we've done in the last week or we're going to do. You see, we're not serving God. We're serving ourselves. And therefore, the truth is that we are very unprofitable servants. Our concern should be to be profitable. And in order to be profitable, that means that we should show forth the praise of our God. And we shall show forth the praise of our God by the work that He's done for us. And it won't be a one-off occasion. It won't be something that will happen and then we think, well, now I'm free, I can carry on and do what I want to do. You and I will desire to be a true servant, to serve the Lord. And yet, you see, when we've done all the things, we recognize we've only done that which it was our duty to do. We can never earn heaven. Never think that you can earn heaven. The eternal life is a gift of God. You and I receive the most precious gift of eternal life. We can never earn heaven. And therefore, it's good when the Holy Spirit shows us the truth of these things, that we are indeed unprofitable servants. The only other occasion in the Bible where this word unprofitable occurs is in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where we read about those three people who received talents, one 10 talents, one 5, and one talent. They all received talents. And it's so with the Church of God. The church of God, the people, they all receive talents. Some more, some less. But whatever talents we receive, we are to trade with it. We are to bring glory in God with it. And the person that had that one talent, he went and hid it in the ground. And the Lord said to him, he was an unprofitable servant. If the Lord's given us a talent, let us not go and bury it in the ground. Let us seek to know how to use it profitably. And when we have used it profitably, we will very readily recognize that we've fallen short. We failed in so many ways. We will never be able to stand and say, well, I've done that really well. You will if you're not converted. You'll think you're doing very well. But if the Holy Spirit has convinced you of your sin and led you to the Saviour, you will see, really written over, everything that we do, however good it may be, we have to say, failure. We failed. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. But you see, we haven't really done as much as we could have done. We tend to limit the things that we do, don't we? We tend to do so much and think, well, I've done that and I think that's enough and someone else can now carry on and take this on. You see, we're really burying perhaps the talent that God has given us. God does give talents to his people, and it's good, therefore, to use them wisely and to use them for the honour and glory of God. Now, in so doing, we need to come back to the opening remarks that I made with regard to the wonderful words of the Saviour when he said that we are bought with a price. And if we have a right appreciation of the enormous cost of our salvation, and it is really good to just sit down quietly and meditate upon what that really means. We weren't bought with a trivial price. We weren't bought with anything which is monetary in this world's currency. We were bought with something far more valuable, exceeding valuable, the blood of Christ. Indeed, the hymn writer says, doesn't he, in that one line, invaluable blood, because you and I cannot assess the value of the blood of Christ, because the value of it has delivered our souls from eternal hell. Nothing else would satisfy the holy and righteous demands of Almighty God. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven to let us in. No other way. Look nowhere else. And be humbled to realize that the great God should have so gloriously condescended to come into this world and stand in our place and to pay the punishment due to us, which we could never pay. We are bankrupt. We have no ability to pay it. All we can bring is sin. And in our best work, in our best things, in our best thoughts, you'll find the sin there. You'll find there's an element of pride. You'll find there's perhaps wrong thoughts. And you'll have to come and stand before God and say, yes, Lord, I am an unprofitable servant. It's good when the Holy Spirit convinces us of that. It brings us then into a right place. We're not then bolstered up. We're not then proud of our profession, but we're proud of what God has done. And we desire to glorify his great and glorious name. Surely That must be the result of the gracious work of God in our soul, that we are concerned, and rightly so, to honour and to glorify our God, that one who has done such great things. And as we ponder these things, to realise that all the things even that we've desired to do in honouring him, we failed. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And so tonight, have we much cause to thank God and to praise him, if he's brought us into a situation like this, to speak in such a way and be able to say we are unprofitable servants? Naturally, we don't want to say that. We want to think we're very profitable. We want to think we've done a good job. We want to think people are thinking well of us, and they're commending us and saying what a great person we are. But as you and I stand before God, you know, such things sometimes will be not pleasant. We won't want to receive them, because we know that in truth, we haven't done as much as we should, and we are unprofitable in it, and we shouldn't be receiving accolades for that which we don't deserve. What a blessing when the Holy Spirit therefore convinces us of such a situation before him, and to bring us back to the great sacrifice of himself. This will do us real good. This will be a growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. How often we perhaps, and I hope we do pray that we may be blessed with that wonderful favour of spiritual growth. We don't want to stand still. We don't want to go backwards. We want to grow. We want to be fruitful in the things of God. And in order to be fruitful, we need to realise in some measure how weak we are and how sinful we are, and desire that the Holy Spirit would give us grace to be fruitful in the things of God. And yet, you see, in those things, to be fruitful, yet you see, we have to come and say in those things, yes, we are indeed unprofitable servants. We've only done those things which it was our duty to do. The Apostle Paul, in the 5th chapter of the Galatians, he gives a little list of fruitfulness. It's classified as the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important to realise that he previously speaks about the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. And now, he doesn't say the fruit of the flesh. He says the fruit of the Spirit. And it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's a comprehensive statement, isn't it? And perhaps speaking of just one element of that, where the apostle says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That'll be a test, won't it, of the reality of our religion. That'll be a test whether we are thinking that we've done everything well. You see, to crucify our flesh. And that really means to put it to death. Mortify. And crucifixion, of course, was and is the most painful death. And to turn aside from those things which please our flesh are difficult. And that's why these words are used, crucifying, a painful death, but a death of things that we perhaps are very fond of, that we want to do, and we're very reluctant to give them up. But what a mercy it is when we find the fruit of the Spirit is working in our hearts, which enables us to turn away from the things which were dear to us, the work of the Spirit of God. And yet, you see, in that, we still have to say we are unprofitable, because we haven't probably completely crucified. We may think, well, I've stopped doing this and I've stopped doing that so far, but perhaps not totally. And therefore, there hasn't been a real crucifixion. There's been a partial crucifixion. And that's why we have to come and say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, it'll be a blessing if we are able to say before God that we have done those things which it was our duty to do, even if they haven't been done, as it were, to 100%. But at least if we have the evidence that the Lord has made us willing in the day of his power, willing in the day of his power to forsake such things which stand in the way of our spiritual life, our spiritual blessing. The sins, perhaps, which so easily beset us. And don't settle down under such a temptation and say, well, of course, that's my besetting sin, and therefore allow yourself to continue in it. It's very easy to settle down with an excuse like that. But you see, if we do have, and we do have, besetting sins, sins which come upon us very easily, and no doubt those besetting sins are different to each one of us, at least in some way. And yet they are there, and they are hard to crucify. It's very hard to get rid of them, to turn our back upon them. And that's why we need the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit to direct us to the suffering Saviour. You are bought with a price. I'm sure you see this is the greatest blessing. And this is the enabling blessing as we view what Christ has done for us. And yet we are so obstinate and so awkward and so unbelieving and so sinful and so wretched that we are unprepared to forsake all and follow him. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And so as we ponder what this means to us individually, I wonder whether we've walked this path and whether we've come before God and said, yes, Lord, I've done those things which thou hast commanded me to do, but I just feel to be an unprofitable servant. Well, that's right, and that's a good place, isn't it? That's a scriptural place to be found in. And that will deliver us then from boasting in our own ability, boasting in our own strength. What would it do? It would enable us to boast in what Christ has done to redeem our souls. And that surely must be the place of glorying. Glorying in the finished work of the Saviour. Not glorying in what we've done, what we've been able to do, although, but no doubt, we have been helped by the Holy Spirit, and it's right to be thankful for it. We should always be thankful for the help given by God to do these things, but not to glory in them. We should only glory in what Christ has done, and be thankful that he's enabled us perhaps to turn our back upon things which at one time we rejoice in and rejoice to do, rejoice to be involved in, rejoice to think upon. What a wonderful favour then to have a God who is compassionate and looks upon us and does not deal with us as our sins deserve. See, earlier in this chapter we read those wonderful words of the apostles when they came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. We may think, well, I don't think I'll ever be able to turn my back on such and such. The Lord can increase your faith, enable you to walk contrary to the things that the devil wants you to do. How easily we do follow the devil. And remember, he knows our weak points. Remember, he knows what is our besetting sin. And he doesn't forget. And he keeps on prodding. And he keeps on thrusting. And he keeps on endeavouring to produce sin in our hearts. Perhaps sin through our words. We are unprofitable servants. And so may we be concerned to be found serving the Lord and willing to serve him in whatever situation the Lord has for us. I remember years ago I was working with a Christian architect, and he said to me, "You know, if the Lord told me that I must go and wash out the toilets of the public conveniences every day," he said, "I'm thankful I would be content to do that." See, seeking, willing to do that which the Lord commanded to be done. We perhaps like sometimes to think we're above certain situations. Well, just remember the blessed example of the Lord Jesus. What did he do? He washed his disciples' feet. Yes, you might think, well, I'll help somebody and I'll do this and I'll do that. And you might commend yourself in your own mind for it. But are you doing the menial things? Are you indeed washing the disciples' feet? Are you helping them in the most menial situation? Or are you just walking in that way where you are indeed unprofitable servants? And even, I believe, in that situation, whatever it may mean, you will have to recognize, well, perhaps I didn't do it quite as well as I should have done. I didn't quite finish the job as well as I should have done. I didn't perhaps go the extra mile. I just stopped short. And therefore, we are unprofitable servants. My friends, the blessed Saviour didn't stop short, did he? He didn't stop short. You think of the wonderful example, and I often think if we need to have any evidence of what we should do and say, just remember the Saviour. Just remember what he did, how he lived throughout his life. There wasn't a time when he suddenly changed. He lived his life for the glory of his Father. He did his Father's will throughout his life, however difficult it was. And as, of course, we know that he washed his disciples' feet on that Passover night, just shortly before he was to suffer the agony in Gethsemane, to be crucified upon the cross at Calvary, he didn't stop. He didn't turn back. And we have the wonderful prayer to his Father in Gethsemane. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was a willing servant. And oh, my friends, are we willing servants? We might look, we might think, we may say, "No, the cost is too high. The cost will affect my life. The cost will affect what I do and say. Price is too high." Remember what the Saviour did. The cost was not too high for him in order to redeem our souls. And are we thankful for it? Do we praise God for it? I hope we do. And therefore, in our little lives, do we have to come and say, "Yes, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Well, my friends, may we be thankful then that we have such a wonderful example, who endured those that hiding his Father's face on the cross for those 3 hours, enduring hell for us. Yes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a blessed example it is, isn't it? What a wonderful example. And may we praise God for it. And may we therefore be concerned in our lives today to be found truly serving our Lord in whatever position that is. Whatever position, boys and girls, those of us who are adults, teenagers, everyone, are we serving the Lord? Are we doing his bidding? Is he our master? Is he our master? Do we bow down before him? Do we come and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done? Do we desire to be directed by the blessed Saviour? Do those things which honour and glorify him. Our lives should be for the honour and glory of our God, not for the honour and glory of ourselves. And so may we be able to come before our God and say humbly, yes, we've done those things, as we, so likewise, when you should have done all those things which are commanded, we still have to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do, and to thank God that he's given us help. He's strengthened us. He has enabled us to do things, but he's also enabled us to see our failure. He's also shown us how we haven't done those things which we should have done. We've been unprofitable. And to bow down before God, and especially then as we come back to realise the price paid for our salvation. You are bought with a price. May we therefore be concerned that we are serving him every day, every hour, every minute of our life, for the honour and glory of our God, who so willingly died that we might live. Amen.